Anybody here ever feel alone? Ever feel like you're fighting against life or life fighting against you? Ever feel overwhelmed? Ever feel surrounded? Like, oh, all these things are coming at you and all these events and even people that you love and care about might have things going on. And the more you hear about all the things that are going on in the world, you kind of feel that sense of, oh my goodness, how are we going to get out of this mess? Right? We're surrounded, aren't we? Sometimes by troubles. Even the Word of God tells us that David spoke of that when he was being chased by Saul and the armies were coming against him and he was surrounded. His little army was surrounded. That was the end of David. Not so much, right? It was not. And it's not the end of you or me ever either. It doesn't matter. Watch and see. That's not the only time that somebody was surrounded. And I want to use an example of one of the great prophets in the Old Testament. There was Elijah, and then there was Elisha. Elisha was Elijah's follower and came after him as the great one that was going throughout Israel to help be a prophet to the Israelites. And back at this time, the Israelites were constantly being chased down, constantly being attacked, constantly trying to be destroyed by other armies. And so God would use these prophets to warn the people that the enemy's coming so that they could get prepared and they could get ready and they could be safe, knowing that God, the God of the universe, was taking care of them. And even though they might be surrounded by troubles, God was still going to take care of them. And God would still prevail and they would prevail as a result. So Elisha, when he prayed, in fact, to be a great prophet, he asked to have a double blessing. He asked for more, to be able to do more than even Elijah had done. And Elijah had done some great, awesome miracles. And so we see that this Elisha is equally as equipped. And then we see later on in the New Testament, Jesus. Remember Jesus, right? Thoroughly equipped, right? The Son of God could do anything. And then that Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to his followers, right? And they are equally equipped, right? Right? So we essentially are all prophets of God like Elisha. And even though we're surrounded by troubles, we have the God of the universe who's going to help us, right? Right? So even though you may feel overwhelmed, you're not alone in this. The God of the universe is seeing you, watching you, and caring for you. Remember that. Remember that. All right. So let's go to the second book of Kings, chapter 6. And I'm going to show you an example of sometimes how God has to reach out and touch us. And at the same time, using this same Old Testament teaching to reach out and touch you. So that you can begin, even though you're sometimes surrounded, you can understand that you're surrounded in a different way. All right, let's look at the scriptures this morning. 2 Kings 6, verse 8. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So even though the enemy was about to attack, what would happen? God would tell Elisha, who would then tell the Israelites, don't go there. So God gives us warnings, right? When the enemy is about to come at us, God's going to say to you, don't go there. And sometimes don't go there means don't go there with your head. You understand what I'm saying? Even though you get something coming in your way that you might think you're being attacked, don't go there. Don't go down that road. Don't get on that train that leads to scariness. Right? Our mind can go awesome places, can't it? And it can go some awful places too. So we're a church of awesomeness, not awfulness. Got it? So when your mind starts to go off in places where you think things are bad and going to get worse, don't go that place. Don't go there. Go somewhere else. Go to God, right? Go to where you remember a time when God helped you. Go there instead. Many of us have past situations, right, where God helped us. If you got at least one time that God helped you, or a half a time. More than one time, lots of times, right? So when you start to get afraid or doubts start to creep into your mind, because they kind of creep in, they don't just come in the front door, they kind of creep in the back door to try to scare you, and things start to look bleak, where does your mind go? To God. One person got it so far. Okay, beautiful. I'm going to keep preaching. So the rest of you will catch up. So far, when doubts creep in, we don't get on that train and go to that place. Where do we go? Yes, all right. You'll get out of here sooner than you think then. Beautiful. All right, excellent. I've got to get to more scripture reading. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God, warning the people there to be on their guard. This happened several times. So listen, we always have to be what? On guard. The enemy is looking around, trying to find someone in your mind especially that he can devour, right? So what do we have to do? Be on guard. How are we on guard? Go to God. We pray. We remember who we are in God. We remember the times when God helped us, and we say, I can know that I can withstand the enemy's attack because God is with me, right? Right? God is with me. If God is for us, who can be against it? You got it. Beautiful. You guys are so good this morning. Awesome. All right. Oh, thank you. Okay. I'll make sure I make that really loud in my sermon message out there in online land. But anyway, okay. Verse 11. The enemy wasn't going to stop, by the way. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called in his officers and demanded, which one of you is a traitor? Who's been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, Lord. One of the officers replied, Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Oh, you mean Elisha can hear what the king's thinking? Huh. You know those microphones you have in your house? See? It's scriptural right here. God hears everything. And then it gets put into my little microphone right here. And then you hear it back to you. Right? So Elisha's going to be in big trouble, isn't he? Oh, yeah. He's the tattletale. He's the one that's been protecting the Israelites, right? So what do you think the king of Aram is going to want to do? Get rid of Elisha. So what does Elisha do? Get all scared? The king commanded, go and find out where Elisha is, and we will send our troops to seize him. And the report came back, Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. You'd think this king was a little bit afraid of Elisha, the man of God? Just teeny tiny bit. He sends chariots and a whole army after one person. You think the enemy isn't afraid of you and me? Going to send an army, right, to try to stop us, right? Is that going to stop us? Never, 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 never. Are we going to be afraid? Temporarily, right? But we're surrounded, aren't we? We're surrounded. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Now, this is Elisha's servant. This is Elisha's disciple, if you will. This is somebody learning about God, if you will, like many of us still are, right? He goes outside, and what does he see? Troops everywhere. What do you think he thinks? Uh-oh, we're in trouble now. And he goes into Elisha, my Lord, what will we do now? We're doomed. We're surrounded. What are we going to do? Freak out moment. What does Elisha say? Same words Jesus used over and over and over throughout the scriptures. In fact, it's 365 times in the Bible, in case you didn't know that. The words are this, don't be afraid. But Elisha, you didn't hear what I told you. There's troops outside. There's an army out there. There's tons of people trying to get us. Don't be afraid. But Elisha, I've got health problems. I've got issues. I've got things in my life I can't straighten out. I don't have a job. I have people that don't like me. I have people that don't accept me. I've had numerous losses in my life. I've had all kinds of problems in my life where I just don't know where to turn. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because we're surrounded. But Elisha, we're surrounded. Next verse. For there are more on our side than on theirs. There's more than on our side than theirs. No matter who they are out there, there are more on our side than. There's more on your side than. There's no one that can come against you that God cannot protect you from, right? God is stronger and bigger and more powerful than anyone or anything, right? So there's more of them on our side than there are those that are trying to destroy us. And even though I might feel overwhelmed by them, there's more on our side. We're surrounded. We're surrounded. I'm getting there. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened Elisha's servant's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. So what does Elisha get to, his servant get to see? Not the enemy, but what? The chariots all around those enemies were all those other horses and chariots of fire, ready to do what? Protect Elisha, his servant, and make sure they won the battle. Do you notice what Elisha said? Open his eyes so he can see. See, there are invisible forces. There are invisible entities. There are invisible powers that we cannot see with our eyes. Right? And we think of those powers as being the enemy. There's more on our side, the good guys, than there are the bad guys. There's more of God than there is of Satan. Right? Right? There are more of us than them. And even if it wasn't a question of more, the power that God has is greater than anything that's on this earth or below it or above it. Right? Right? But we have to pray that you open your eyes and see that in times of affliction, times of tribulation, times of trouble, times when you feel what? Overwhelmed. These problems are greater than me, right? We're by ourselves, we're pretty weaklings, and it's okay to admit that. However, when we open our eyes and see all the forces that are for us and not against us, what happens to us? You get peace. You feel free. You feel what? Powerful. Do you feel afraid? If you could see, I'm crunched up here right now, because if you could see all the army of angels that are beside me and behind me all the way back to heaven, if you could see all the angels that I need to protect me. We talk about a guardian angel. I have a legion of guardian of angels. It's 144,000, as the scriptures tell us. I'm a little on the high maintenance side, I must admit. But think about this. If I'm facing a problem, or it's facing me, and I'm walking towards that problem, who's going with me? Who's going with me? Who's going with me? See, the truth is we are not alone. We are never alone. Our mind might want to tell us we are, but we are surrounded. Look at me. If I have a problem, I'm surrounded by people who can help by praying and believing and encouraging and saying you can make it through. And you're not only you guys that are physically here. Can you see all the other people that are with me, the other angels? Can you see them all? Can you see the power of Jesus Christ following me around? Can you see it? Can you feel it? And if you've got a problem and I'm coming towards that problem with you, with all my army of angels that are around me, these chariots of fire that are going to go against the enemies that are trying to go against us, what's going to happen to them? Smush city. They had a smoking fire burning them up to nothing. Now, I know you love my New Year's Eve service where we always light a fire and put your stuff in it, right? Don't you love that service, right? Don't you love that service? Say you do. All right, so you particularly love it when it's outside, not in the building, right? And we light a bonfire out there, right? There's significance in that because that's a chariot of fire. You take your stuff, right? All your stuff. Anybody got stuff? Anybody? Oh, yeah, whoa. Whoa, I'm surrounded. But what happens when you take your baggage? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. It's a little musty and old, and you've had it for so long. I mean, some of the stuff is shredded there, but you don't even know what it really looks like, but you got to have it. It's that memory from way back when. I got to carry it with me through life. Because after all, I'm surrounded by awfulness. What happens when we take that from you and we put it in the fire? What happens to it? What happens to it? It burns, and what happens to it? It disintegrates, and you're looking at a piece of paper that you wrote a bunch of stuff on. Some of which are names of people that you need to forgive, right? Or maybe it's yourself that you need to forgive, or situations in your life that were painful and harmful. And you write it down and you put it where? In the chariot of fire. And what happens? It burns up and it disappears into thin air. And then what happens to you? Phew, man. Guess what? That load I was carrying, that baggage, where did I put that? Oh, she burned it in the fire. That person I can't forget. Wait, where are they? It's out of my psyche, right? It's no longer being held by me. I'm no longer holding things down or holding others down. I'm not holding on to anything, especially my enemies that I perceive are enemies. They're your friends when you realize God is more powerful, right? And they can't hurt you anymore. Unless you keep bringing up what they did. And then you're surrounded by what? Those ugly feelings, right? Not us. We don't go there. Wait, we don't go there. No. We don't go to the past. We don't drudge up old dead bones. And we certainly don't allow you to dig into that fire, well, even after it's cooled off. Those ashes, oh, can I have that problem back, please? You burnt it. Well, no, it's kind of disintegrated into black. Yeah. You don't get to keep that stuff, right, church? You don't get to keep that. Because what purpose does it serve? Zero. Zero. Oh, back to the scripture, sorry. So the Lord opened up his eyes and he could see that he was surrounded by hills of people filled with horses and chariots of fire. And as the army advanced toward them, Elisha prayed, Lord, make them blind. And the Lord did as Elisha asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, you've come the wrong way. You've come the wrong way. You don't get to come near me. You don't get to touch me. You don't get to touch our people. You don't get to destroy us. You came the wrong place. When you came in this place, you came in the wrong place to try to destroy these people. Head on out. Go on about your business. Because you cannot destroy us or our will. You cannot destroy our purpose for living. You can't destroy who we are as a people. We are God's people, and we are more powerful than any enemy that tries to come against us. And you, Mr. Problem, well, you can just vacate the premises and take all your other problems with you. Can we open the back door and let all the problems out, please? Can we open up the back door and let all the problems out, please? Open the front door. Make sure they keep on going. Now, is anybody in the room want to go back and get that problem and invite them back in? You're positive? It's tempting. Oh, there's someone that tells the truth. We're sometimes used to that, aren't we? We're used to believing that there's enemies out there that can come against us and hurt us. We can see it out there. We hear words sometimes. We see things out there, phrases, kinds of things that try to scare us, right? Right? There are forces out there to try to make us all think on this planet that we're going to be destroyed, that somebody is more powerful than us, and we have to be afraid of people as though they could hurt us. We're surrounded, aren't we? What are we surrounded by? And who are we surrounded by? God. God's army of angels protects us and surrounds us. We have to remember that always. And when you're by yourself, you're not alone, right? I want you to get bigger doorways for your homes. We'll send out a building committee for you. Gail. And... After vacation. And Pastor Lisa and I, we like destroying things. We like taking things apart and getting rid of them when they don't belong. So we'll bring the sledgehammer to your home. You bring the bulldozer. See, the reason we're going to do that is we're going to make a bigger doorway. Why? See, you're getting it backwards. You thought it was to let things out. Some of you got some big stuff you need out of your house, don't you? You need, like, the big moving van coming, right? Why do we need a bigger door? More blessings coming in. You see how you got to twist your mind and turn it to the other way? Because, listen, if I'm walking with all these army of angels around me and I'm surrounded by God's powerful angels and the Holy Spirit and all that, all those people that are even in the heavenly realms that are with me, and they're traveling into my house, do you think they're all going to fit? Not through the door, right? Because there's so many. Because we're surrounded by so many believers in God that have overcome so many things, right? In the book of Hebrews, why I added that other scripture there for you, and you can go back and read the chapter preceding it in chapter 11. It tells of all the people that had faith in God, all of them. It says, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Noah, by faith, Moses, by faith, right? They did what? Awesome and great things with and for God, right? They overcame obstacle, Gideon. I mean, you can go on and on and on, as the scriptures say in Hebrews. In fact, Paul, when he writes this, he says, since we are surrounded, you see how you're surrounded now, understanding that? See, some of you, when you came in here, you were surrounded by what? Problems. Some of you said most of you said you were overwhelmed. Are you now underwhelmed? I hope so. Did your eyes get opened? For every problem you have how many solutions? 972,642,001. Chapter 12, it tells us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. See, This is what we are. We all have a life, not just a minute of faith, not just a moment. We have an entire what? Life of faith. So what I'm trying to tell you this is, you may have some things come your way in the future that might seem to be a problem. They may be something that really is something that hurts you or harms you in some emotional or other way, right? Does that mean it's over for you? Why not? Because your faith and trust is in God. Because you're surrounded by blessings. You're surrounded by solutions. You're surrounded, if nothing else, by other people because of their overcomingness. I think I made up a word. Because of their being able to overcome, you have the same ability too, don't you? See, we're no different than Elisha. We really aren't. We're no different than Jesus. We're really not. We're all equal joint heirs, and we have the same power within us, don't we? Don't we? And we are surrounded by people. If you listen to everybody's story, if we were going to go around the room here today and each of you told your story of victory, how many of you would have a story of victory? And victory. And another one. And another one. And right? Right? You see how you're surrounded by believers who have been victorious? Some of you, just the fact that you're here today is a victory. And boy, that pillow sure is comfortable. And my eyes sure are heavy. If I could just sleep 5 more minutes, God. Just give me an hour. You can't. You have to go to church. Why, God? You're the preacher. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So here I am. Victory over sleep every time. It says in the next, in chapter 12 of verse 1, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. I see weight as doubt. Doubt weighs us down. Worry weighs us down. Fear weighs us down, doesn't it? Those thoughts weigh us down. Thoughts of the past, thoughts of the future. Fear, you know, problems with the past, regret from the past, fear of the future weigh us down. But what does Paul tell us to do? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And my prayer today is that God will open your eyes to your power. We have nothing or no one to fear. Right? And even if something tries to come against us, what's going to happen? What are we going to tell that problem? Get. Go on, get on out of here. Go on. Shoo. We are surrounded. We are surrounded. See, interesting how Deacon Cindy brought up the redwood earlier. See how God works? That redwood, all those redwoods stand side by side and hold each other up, right? Are we, as a Christian body of believers, as a church, we are what? Redwoods, aren't we? And we're surrounded. And the more we realize that, how often do you think redwoods get afraid? The winds are coming. The earthquake's coming. No. You know, one thing about plants I've learned, because I love plants as I love animals. I've even watched plants that are supposedly not like supposed to graft together, but in difficult times, I've had to pull their roots apart. You know, you put a philodendron in with a palm tree, and maybe you're not supposed to, but before you know it, they're buds. I mean, buddies. And that's what a church is, folks. That's what a church is. You are never alone. You may think you are. The enemy may try to tell you you are. Your mind may want to trick you into thinking that you are. But I pray each and every time you think that you remember and you say to yourself, I'm never alone. God is with me, and I am surrounded by an army of believers that can take on any other army that comes against us. You believe that this morning now? Are any of you going to get afraid tomorrow? Probably. So we have to make sure we have that person's phone number, email, address, because guess what's going to happen when you get afraid? There's going to be an army, chariots coming, and horses, or big old fast cars today. Or even a phone call. Isn't it awesome to know that even through electronics, you can surround somebody with hope, with peace, letting them know you're there, right? I pray that you will always see that you are surrounded. If all of you were to stand up and get a little closer if you're comfortable. And who's in the middle? Can I see? I see a little person. There's a little person right there. A couple of little people in the center. Do you feel a little surrounded by chance? And the bigger people, do you feel surrounded? Do you feel more powerful? Like if I was going to attack any one of you, which I won't, if I was going to try to. Whoa. We're going to get you first.
So if you're a problem, watch out. If you're a problem, we'll have to open doors.
I try to be a problem, but apparently I can't get anywhere. Oh, sweet. Oh. Give him the $5 later. Okay. Now, do you feel alone right now? Are you afraid right now? Are you afraid if I was coming towards you right now? Because we know this group over here is going to get me, right? Will you remember tomorrow that when something comes your way that feels a little daunting or majorly daunting, will you remember this crowd here? And will you ask and call for prayer to say, hey, I need my army with me? And then what do you think is going to happen for you? How are you going to feel? You feel safe? Feel secure? You take on anything or anyone? Absolutely. I want you to keep your eyes open all the time. Not to just those that are physically here. I want you to begin to come to know that because of God's great love for all of you, He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Ever. Consequently, you are never, ever, never, ever, 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 never to be alone. And should you need help from God, pray, believe, and call on your church family. And we will surround you with love, with prayer, with care, and we'll be there for you to defeat those things that try to defeat you. Amen? Amen. Amen.